What if you feel like you're absolutely blowing it in ministry? What if you feel like a failure? How do you move forward? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. This is episode number 427 of our show. The reason why I keep numbering these week after week is I want to lead up to the end. We are closing out this podcast with episode number 430, so just a couple more left. The last guest of this podcast on episode number 429 is going to be Pastor Craig Groeschel from Life Church. So he's coming up in just a few weeks. You don't want to miss that one or any other episode that we have coming up next week. Then the next is Pastor Craig Groeschel. And then the last episode, episode 430, will be a celebration episode. We'll take a look back on some of our favorite clips and guests. All right, the launch of our new brand and new platform is underway. We are moving from 1230 Media to Church Visuals. That's our brand new name, our brand new brand and website. It's all coming out. We are so excited for this move. Churchvisuals.com is the brand new website. We are transitioning to that website. We're in transition now. It will feature over 30,000 pieces of ready-made media that you can download instantly. Massive library of ready-made content, ready-made graphics and video for you and your church. You can also come to us for custom media. Lots of ministries, lots of churches come to us. Folks like Freedom House Church in Charlotte, folks like Northbrook Church in Illinois. We also serve ministries like Outreach and Awana, Answers in Genesis, Go Curriculum, Seeds Family Worship, Yancey, Doorpost Songs, and others. We love serving churches and ministries in the space. We help you with your visuals, your graphics, and video content. If you need help, we would love to serve you. And we are not in the business of making things look awesome just to look awesome. We are in the business of being on mission with you to help you visually communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so as it relates to this podcast, we are massively expanding our training library as well. More podcasts, we're adding courses, brand new courses to the platform. Also, we'll be doing webinars each month, articles, books, and more. It's all coming soon to churchvisuals.com. Be sure to check it out. All right, today I'm talking with Brian Dollar. He is one of the most respected kids pastors in the country, but few people know the path that he has taken to get there. He's the author of the new book, I Blew It, and he shares some of his biggest failures in ministry and how he's overcome them and how you can too. Brian Dollar coming up right after this. Hey, ministry leader, it's time you're in the middle of fall ministry preparation and rollout, but let me interrupt briefly with a huge announcement from our team. By now, you know we're changing our name, and this is a huge rebrand for us, but we are excited for what it means for you. First, we're combining 1230 Media and 1230 Kids. Now, this simplifies our catalog of work. And secondly, we are ready to announce our brand new name and brand. We're changing our name to, cue the drum roll, Church Visuals. Now, why? Because that's what we specialize in. And our promise to you, we'll provide you with world-class graphics and videos to help you visually communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to your community. Now, why is this so important to us? Because it is to you. Your visuals matter. And we are so pumped about our new logo and our new brand. Over the last several months, we've been working on a massive new website. We'll also be changing our social media channels. Both of those changes will set us up for the future in a big way to help serve you even better. And this rebranding process has us laser focused on leading the church visuals industry. And I'd like to say that we're launching everything with our new name and brand today. But as you know, everything takes time. And we want you to be on this ride with us. So be on the lookout for church visuals soon. We didn't want to surprise you with any of the changes. And thank you for walking with us on this journey. And in a very short time, we'll let you know when the official launch of our new website is and all the details so that you know how our new name impacts you. In the meantime, let me give you some brand new free church visuals for your time. As you move into the fall, I want to give you our latest Fall Volume 4 pack. And this collection of visuals includes a countdown, title motions, editable title and social media graphics, and more. It's a $25 value for you, completely free for your church. Just go to 1230media.com/free-fall-pack, or you can click on the link below. You can use the code FALL23 at checkout. Again, that's 1230media.com/free-fall-pack. And use the code FALL23 at checkout to download it completely free. We are praying for you as you launch your fall ministries. And remember, your visuals matter. Hey guys, today I welcome my friend Brian Dollar. Brian is an associate pastor. He's also the founder of High Voltage Kids Ministry Resources and the author of the brand new book, I Blew It. Brian, welcome, man. Thanks for hanging out.
I am excited to be here with you, Carl, and looking forward to this conversation.
So I know we've just kind of gotten off a conference circuit, and I have. I know we saw each other at Kids Matter in a couple of places, and so the cold has gotten me. The conference circuit has done me in. I'm down for the count. I have been the last few days, so forgive my cold, man.
Oh, it's not going to bother me. I've been abusing my voice the last couple of days, and so it's not very strong today. So if I can forgive you, you can forgive me, and hopefully the audience will forgive both of us.
There we go. All right. Well, man, tell folks, I intro'd you a little bit, but man, tell folks where you serve and how you serve and then how this book came about for you.
Well, I'm associate pastor at First Assembly of God in North Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm about to actually celebrate in just a couple of weeks will be my 24th year here. Ooh. On staff. Been serving under Pastor Rod Loy for all of that time. Part of it, he was the executive pastor, and for 21 plus years, he's been the lead pastor. And you know, I've had a lot of roles here, from kids pastor to you know, now associate pastor, and a whole lot goes on that plate. But you know, just trying to serve my pastor and serve the church and do the best I can, all the while leading a side business, High Voltage Kids Ministry Resources, where we write and produce kids curriculum. We're in over 15,000 churches around the country, and actually around the world, and just trying to keep up with what God's doing our best.
Now, when did High Voltage start for you in that process?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is this coming June will be the 20th anniversary of our very first multimedia curriculum. You know, I was writing stuff back in 1998 was kind of when I first started writing and putting stuff out there for others to use. But, you know, it was before the internet was really usable. And certainly e-commerce wasn't happening, except for maybe Amazon and eBay. But, you know, as time went on, we expanded, and it's been 20 years since the very first one that we released. And I think we have almost 15 years worth of stuff that we've developed. So just every single week here, my pastor and I actually work together on what he teaches to the adults. I write with my staff for the kids. And so the whole family's on a learning journey together. And so we write and produce everything for our church, and then provide it for other churches to be able to use outside of that. And we do both elementary and preschool, so it's a lot of fun.
So in 24 years, I know that you've done everything exactly perfect, zero mistakes. So I know that most of this book that you wrote was completely fictional and made up.
If only.
No, you've written the book on ministry failure. So tell me how I Blew It came about for you.
Well, you know, it actually originally was an idea that I had when I hit my 20th year of full-time ministry. You know, I wanted to look back, and I definitely wanted to write about my experience and my story. And I realized as I looked back that so many of the lessons that I learned, you know, they weren't rooted in the success moments that I had, but instead they were rooted in times when I failed, when I blew it, when I just really didn't handle things the way I should have. That allowed me the opportunity to dig deep into my heart and my mind and realize there was a lot the Lord wanted to teach me. And so the more I thought about that, the more I realized that, you know, failure has kind of gotten a bit of a stigma. And I think often, especially young leaders, try to hide their failures, try to make excuses for their mistakes because they're trying to, you know, prove that they've got what it takes to be in ministry. They want others to respect them. But the fact is that failure has a very key role in our spiritual growth and in our spiritual journey. If you serve in ministry, failure is inevitable because ministry is not about perfection. It's about persistence and courage and growth. And so it's about admitting we're human beings and we're vulnerable to mistakes and failures. And since we're pushing ourselves, we're trying to grow and we're pursuing big goals. Well, guess what? In doing that, you're never going to bat 1,000. You know, you're going to strike out every once in a while. You're going to fail. Besides that, you work with people, and you know, if you work with people, you're going to have moments that you don't respond correctly. You know, you're going to make the wrong assumption about somebody else's motive, somebody, you know, on staff with you or whatever, or maybe you're going to drop the ball with a ministry assignment. And so since we all make mistakes consistently, we as leaders, we have to learn how to manage those mistakes and to work to minimize the negative impact of those mistakes. And so that's why I wrote this book, was to kind of normalize failure and mistakes in ministry, and to change the thought process that so many leaders have about failure in ministry, that it's not a black mark on your record and, you know, something that you should run away from. Instead, it's something that you should embrace and that you should question yourself and learn from. It's not will you blow it, it's how will you respond when you blow it.
Good. Which absolutely applies to those who make Sunday happen. Missing cues, missing a lyric, missing a this or that or a all that absolutely happens every single Sunday. So how do we respond to that? And how do we respond to our volunteers when they make mistakes as well?
Yeah.
I know you're coming at this from a kids pastor perspective. That's a lot of your past. And ministry. Tell me about, I love some of the stories in the book, so I want to ask you about a couple of them. Tell me about the Easter egg hunt mistake early on in ministry for you.
Yeah, you know, that was one that I told at the very beginning, kind of in the introduction, just to lay it out. Whenever I was full-time in kids ministry, I was really more focused on elementary aged kids and really hadn't dove very much into what the needs of preschoolers and their families are. And so I remember this was almost 25 years ago. I was putting together our Easter egg hunt, and part of it was to also put together the preschool stuff. Well, I didn't ask anybody their opinion or get anybody's feedback on my thoughts and plans. And the place that I chose to have the preschoolers to do their Easter egg hunt was rather than a flat grassy area, which would have made more sense. I thought, oh no, this area over here where these large rocks and it's on a hillside. And I thought those are going to be lots of places we can hide those. And there's actually a drainage ditch at the bottom of this ravine. And that's where I told my staff to place all of those eggs. And on top of that, not only were the hiding spots, you know, life-threatening, but I also put inside of the plastic Easter eggs a bunch of choking hazards. I had a big affinity back then for atomic fireballs. And so I put fireballs, you know, inside of these preschool eggs. And let's just say the parents Not only did they question my sanity, but they definitely expressed their disapproval very clearly. And I learned a lot of lessons from that. Mm. First of all, yes. don't try to do all those things on your own without getting parents involved in the process and speaking into the decisions you're making. But also, do some research and find out the needs of the people who are going to be the target of your outreach. And it was all kinds of, I was really young at that point and was a little too fast paced and gung ho on everything that I did and didn't take time to follow a process. I've changed much of that now.
Hmm. Well, I love stories like that. I'm going to ask you about a couple more as we go on, but what do you want people to, you share a lot of stories in the book. Tell me why do you really dive in and why are you so vulnerable about some of the mistakes like that you went through? What do you want readers to get out of that?
Well, each mistake that I shared, is a story about how I blew it and failed. And that's, I'm using those stories as a springboard, to address, overarching issues that I see. I've been 30 years now in full-time ministry, and I've traveled a lot, talked to a lot of people, and I see a pattern of pitfalls that a lot of ministry leaders fall into. And so even though there are plenty of kids ministry stories in the book, I really come at it from a staff pastor, a ministry leader's standpoint of what they can learn. Everything from the importance of building a team to having a whole church perspective and not getting, your mind only focused on your area, a silo mentality. Everything from having a strong relationship with your lead pastor and doing your part to build that, all the way to learning how to differentiate between a good idea and a God idea and really seeking God's inspiration rather than opting for duplication in ministry. So that's what I hope that people get out of it is the ability to learn from my mistakes and learn the principles that I share that I learned through those failures and mistakes and realize that those are common pitfalls in ministry. And if they can learn ahead of time and learn to have their eyes wide open as they're looking forward and walking down this path that God has them going, that they'll be able to avoid a lot of heartache and learn the lessons prior to falling in the pitfalls.
So one of the things that you mentioned is that we seem to sometimes ask God to fulfill our plans. Hey, God, this is my idea. God, fill in the gaps for me here. Instead of the other way around, instead of seeking him first, talk to me about that truth and some of the things that you kind of dive into there.
Well, I tell the story about how when I first, felt like I was called to full-time ministry, I made a lot of assumptions about what that actually looked like. Based on what I'd seen, I assumed I'm going to be a youth pastor and then I'm going to be a lead pastor. It's just a stair-step situation and that's just the way my life's going to go. And I assumed that rather than seeking God and asking him to guide my path forward and asking him, what is this next step that you want me to take? Ultimately I spent 27 years of my ministry life devoted to kids ministry. That was never even on my radar. And so really what I think happens is that we don't truly live our lives based on Proverbs 3:5-6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I think we get excited when we read that verse because we love the promise of a straight path, right? We're like, oh yeah, he's going to take care of all the issues. There's, God's going to make our path straight and we're going to have no issues. Now we want that, but what we don't realize is that, when you dig deep that the Hebrew word in this verse, it's translated straight. It means more than just guidance. It means God removes obstacles. He makes a smooth path or a way of life to bring us to the appointed goal. And it's not about guidance to an ultimate end, but instead it's the power to continue moving forward on the right path, one step at a time. The problem that we run into is that we think that a straight path means the most direct line between two points. You know, I'm going to start here, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to get there quick. But that's not usually how life works. You know, it's not about getting from point A to point B. It's about taking every step in accordance to where God's leading. It's about seeking him. Again, the scripture says, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, in every step, acknowledge him, and then he'll make that path straight. I think too often what we do is we get a goal in mind that we want to achieve. We ask God to bless our plans, and then we start pursuing what we've designed for ourselves to do, as opposed to seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then allowing all these other things to be added to us as well. And when we can get the order right, seek first his kingdom, then our paths will be straight, because we're following every step that he wants to take us, because the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. We got to listen to him and obey.
Good. So back in the day, I've told this story before, but back in the day, I interviewed Phil Vischer several times, the creator of VeggieTales, Big Idea Productions. Yeah. And his one thing that he told me, I asked him how did the Big Idea Productions fall apart? He lost his company, and a big story you can look up. One thing he told me is he said, I got so busy in my ministry for God that I forgot my relationship with God. And this is a guy who really ministered in a big, huge way to kids, you know, mid-90s, late 90s, VeggieTales was huge.
It was it.
And you talk about this in this concept in your book too, that we can get so busy, in doing ministry for God, all the right reasons, all the good things, even God things, that we neglect our relationship with God. You want to talk about that some?
Yeah, you know, that's really, if there was anything that was the biggest catalyst for writing the book, it was that chapter. Because I wrote it just a few years after I'd gone through a real dry season in my life. You know, major failure, just clearly through a series of events, it became clear my heart was just not right with God. It was, you know, I was pursuing ministry purposes, and I was building the kingdom and building, you know, quote unquote, my ministry. But I had put my intimate connection with God on the back burner while I was pursuing what I believed to be his purposes. You know, I definitely got way too busy, but also there was and I think this is something we all have to come to grips with. I think the longer we're in ministry, we can begin to lean on our ministry skill. We can begin to lean on what we know about ministry, and we can deep down begin to truly believe that we, quote, have what it takes, unquote, to do ministry, and that we can do it on our own. Now, we don't say that out loud, and we really probably wouldn't even admit it to ourselves. But if we look at how we process things and how we attack our daily schedules, we'd realize we had a whole lot of work, but not a whole lot of God in that work. And I think too often we end up getting to a place where we pray as a last resort. You know, we work, and then when we can't figure out the answer to a particular problem, it's only then that we go to God for help. And, you know, usually that's to fix the mess that we've created. And so I think instead we should be seeking first his strength and his ideas and his plans. Paul talks about this in Colossians 1:29. Paul said, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And I think as full-time ministers, as ministry leaders, people who make Sundays happen, too often we struggle with all our energy instead of his, you know, and that's to the detriment of our relationship and our connection with God. Now we're pursuing good things. You know, we're making Sundays happen. We're impacting people's lives. You know, we're running tech or preparing creative elements, whatever it is. We're working to minister and build the church and win the lost. The problem is, we're moving so fast and we're working so hard to do the work of God, we ignore the God of the work. And I found myself in that place. And when I truly faced the issue, there was only one thing to do. And that was to get on my face every single day. And I begged God to reveal himself to me again. I ended up stepping down from any upfront kind of leadership role. And that wasn't just because my actions and my state of heart clearly disqualified me from leading people, but because I knew that I needed nothing standing in the way of renewing my relationship with God. And so, I mean, Carl, you know this, it's easy to fall into that trap because ministry has a lot of demands and it demands a lot of our time, a lot of our focus. And we can find ourselves getting up in the morning and immediately grabbing our phone and then responding to messages. And then we just start in on the day and we don't plug in to the power of the Holy Spirit and allow for him to allow us to struggle with his energy, not our own. And if we do that long enough, we'll be like, you know, Jesus described it in John 15. He said, if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you'll be like a tree that is, you know, planted in the living water. And he said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. And so if we're getting our life flow from him, we're going to have fruit. But if we don't, if we're trying to just muster it up on our own, we're going to be like those branches that wither up and die. And those are picked up, Jesus said, and thrown into the fire and burned. Well, that's not what I want my testimony to be when I get before my Heavenly Father. I want him to look and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You stayed close to me. You got your strength from me. And you allowed me to lead and guide you as opposed to thinking you had what it took to make it happen.
So I'm a big list guy. I'm a big task list check. I'm the guy who, does something, then writes it on my list and checked it off that I already did it. You know, I'm that guy. And so I found sometimes that I have to put those things on my task list. Not that it is a chore, not that it is a task necessarily, but that it's in my view as a priority of pray about this, to take time and seek the Lord about this. And again, not that it's a, okay, check off, I did that. Not that it's that, but to continually put it in my view, to continually be intentional about seeking him. And I think that may be different for each person, but
it is different. And you know, depending on your role in ministry and in making Sundays happen, you know, the pressure will come from different places. But I think all of us who are, you know, I'm somebody who I have what's called action bias. I act first and think about it later, you know, as opposed to stopping and looking and making a plan and a process and then executing that plan and process. And I think if we recognize our tendency to act and react as opposed to putting God first, before we even enter into action mode, we say, God, I want to make sure that the action that I'm undertaking is fueled by your presence and your power. And we prioritize spending time with God. Yes, it's on a schedule. If you look at my schedule, you'll see that I have written in time with God, my personal time with the Lord. It's not because it's, like you said, a chore. It's because I want to make sure that nothing gets in the way of it. I put it on the schedule so that nothing can keep that from happening, can crowd that out. And I think we have to do that. We have to prioritize it so that not only we make sure it happens, but we send a message to ourselves and we send a message to, you know, the exterior forces that are kind of weighing in on us that nothing is going to come before my time with God. Because I need, not I want, and I think it's a good idea. I need his strength. I need his spirit. Without him, I can do nothing and I am nothing.
How do you seek him for, let's talk to kind of your high voltage resources maybe for a second, or when you guys are starting a new series. Yeah. I know that that's going to hit some pastors listening, you know, in the creative process. How do you discern the felt need? How do you seek his face on what you're to do next? Give me some some ways that you kind of trust him for guidance and creativity?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a multifaceted question. I'll try to tackle each
piece. I always
ask
you the complicated questions.
I know. Well, you know, from a perspective of how do we choose what we're going to write about? I mean, that is a process that, like I said earlier on the podcast, my pastor and I work together on writing for the whole family. And so a lot of that's going to come from where his heart is and where he feels the church as a whole needs to go. But that's also something that our sermon planning team, which is, you know, me, my pastor, and a couple other creatives on our team, we pray for weeks and weeks and come together to look at the next year and say, all right, where are we as a church? What is God saying to each one of us individually? And what do we feel that God's saying to the church? And how can we lead them on that journey? So there's a lot of prayer that goes involved, that goes into it. And also when it comes to actually creating it, once you go to the next step, I think it's real easy in ministry. There's so many resources and opportunities out there that can just easily be duplicated. And instead of just opting for duplication and, you know, seeing what somebody else did about this particular topic or whatever, and then see how we can duplicate that, we really strive to be innovative in our approach and to be divinely inspired, and make sure that the ideas that we're implementing aren't just good ideas we saw work somewhere else, but they are God ideas that came straight from a time of prayer and inspiration.
It's not that
every single thing we do is original, but we do our very, very best to hear from the Lord and employ that. What'd you say? I missed that.
I said for your people. Not to copy it, just what the church down the street did or the church three states away. Oh, we got to be like that one. To seek a message and then deliver a message for your people for that time. Okay. So speaking to that and kind of speaking to failure, what are some questions that we can ask ourselves before we execute a plan? You hit on something early on in ministry. You were very, let's say hasty or energetic what are some things that maybe you've learned over the years in order to not make mistakes? Some questions you can ask yourself before
I think that's good. And I write a lot about this in the chapter, where I kind of dive into the difference between a good idea and a God idea and, you know, clarifying your plans before you just execute them. Several questions that I ask myself are, number one, have I prayed about it? Because I think if you take any action prior to asking the Lord to, you know, I don't mean putting your shoes on and choosing what clothes you wear that morning, not necessarily to that level, but in any action or execution of a plan in ministry should have been bathed in prayer. So if I haven't prayed about it, then that's where I start. Secondly, I ask if I've got an idea that I think would really work. I ask, what does my pastor think about the idea? I always lay it out before him and say, hey, is there anything I'm not seeing? Is there anything that you can think of that would make this a potential issue in the church or with people?
And then thirdly, you see?
Oh yeah. You know, so if I feel good about it after I've spent some time in prayer and my pastor thinks it has potential at least, then I bring it to my team and I say, all right, here's rather than, you know, cause I know too many leaders and I was one of them early on. I would do all the planning and all the prep ahead of time. And then I bring it to the team ready to fully execute rather than letting them own the process. And so instead now what I do is I bring the idea to the team and I say, hey, here's something that I've been feeling. Here's something I ran by Pastor Rod. And so I want to hear what your thoughts on this general idea. Does this resonate with you as something we should attempt? Yeah. And what are your thoughts based
on? I'm thinking atomic fireballs. What do you think?
Exactly. And so I ask the team their response. And then if that's good, then we start to move forward. And that's when I ask the question, okay, is this an idea where I need God's power to accomplish the idea. Because if not, then I'm thinking it probably isn't a divinely inspired idea, because the things that, that God inspires me to do, I need him to empower me to do. And ultimately, I think one of the biggest questions I ask in that process is, if this idea succeeds, who's going to get the glory? Me, my team, or God? You know, and that helps me to really narrow down whether it's something we should do. Because if it's all about me and my ego, then, you know, it's not that every time I would get, you know, applause, it's a bad idea. But if that's the only person getting the applause, it's a bad idea. It's a selfish, ego-driven idea. And we need to go back to the drawing board and hit our knees and find out, what does God really want us to do?
Good. All right. I want to hit on one more idea before before I leave you. So, and that is teams, yeah. Building teams, which is okay. Huge for the Sunday morning, the worship experience. Tech crews, media. I mean, we just could not do what we do without volunteers. Right. So talk to me about some ways, some benefits for building a team that you've seen over the years.
Well, definitely there's a lot of benefits to a team. I mean, and the tendency when we first start out is to try to prove our worth. And so we try to do as much as we possibly can on our own. Mm-hmm. We will burn out that way if we do that for long. We got to recognize that the model for ministry is not a solo model. Jesus, the greatest minister of all time, showed us that teams are where it's at, because he built a team of 12 that he sent out to do the work that he knew he couldn't do all on his own. And mm-hmm. So if Jesus needed a team, who are we to suddenly decide we don't need a team? But the benefits are there, because teams are more fun when you employ other people in accomplishing the goal of making Sundays happen. Relationships are built. There's just a lot of camaraderie and fun that is had when you do ministry as a team. Certainly teams are going to help you prevent burnout. You know, all of us want to do this ministry thing as long as we can, and we want to be effective as long as we can. And if you try to do things all on your own, that shelf life's going to be pretty short, because mm-hmm. you're going to wear out. But teams also, they make room for growth. You know, as if we insist on doing so much on our own, our ministry is going to have a lid of how much it can accomplish. And so as you build the team and build it out, that allows the impact of your ministry team or your ministry area to expand. And so teams make room for more growth. Also, we're supposed to be the body of Christ, and the body is made up of a lot of different parts that have a lot of different functions. And so as a ministry team, you should mirror that. And you should have different people on your team that have different skill sets. And we should allow people to use the God-given talents that they have and not disdain them because they don't have what we have, or maybe can't do what we can do as good as we can, but instead find what they do well and put them in a place where that's going to shine. I think teams prepare the ministry for the future, because as much as I'd love to say, I'm going to be here. I mean, it's 24 years that I'm about to celebrate, but I don't have any idea that I'm going to be here the rest of my ministry life. It'd be great. It'd be wonderful. And if God sees fit to allow that to happen, wonderful. But the chances are, whoever's listening, they're not going to be in that exact same position for the rest of their life. Therefore, by building a team, you're enabling others to understand the whole of the ministry, to learn how to do some of the things that you're doing, so that when and if God calls you somewhere else, there's not this giant hole and vacuum in leadership, but instead it's next person up. The person that you've poured into, the people that you've poured into, have an opportunity to possibly step into that role and help lead the team. So it helps your ministry last beyond you when you build a team and pour into others. And then, you know, finally, I think teams help us minister to all kinds of people, because there's only so many people that you and your personality are going to attract or that you're going to be able to effectively connect with and minister to. So if you build your team with people of different personalities, different backgrounds, different styles even, that's going to enable your ministry team to impact more people, different people, people who aren't just like you. We're called to build the kingdom, not build our little, group of sycophants and, carbon copies of ourselves.
Right.
We gotta build teams so that we can reach all kinds of people.
Good. One line that really stood out in the book to me, which I've kind of used this too before, is never recruit for a need, instead recruit for an opportunity. Unpack that for me.
I think I've seen way too many.
We need volunteers.
Yes. They will stand up there and they will say, we're just dying in this ministry. We're swamped. Yeah. We're overwhelmed. We got to have some help. And they don't realize, they think they're setting, this expectation of people out there. This is somewhere I can make a difference. Now, when they hear that, they're hearing, there's probably a good reason why nobody's working with them.
Right. I don't want to jump on a sinking ship. That's not.
Yeah. Who wants to
fun?
Do that?
No.
And so rather than using the phrase, no one wants to help us or I can't get anyone to help, I think people's natural, instinctive and really wise reaction to those kind of statements is to avoid working with those people. And so I always push people. I say, rather than moan about being desperate for help, instead celebrate the growth that you're experiencing and the excitement in your ministry. And don't talk about what you don't have, i.e. Right. We don't have enough leaders. Instead, talk about what you do have. We've got incredible growth. We've got a lot of people that we're serving and we have an opportunity to make an impact in their lives. And you can be one of those people.
Right.
We got spots on our team that right now we could place people in and they could immediately begin to make an impact. See, you're saying the same thing. You're saying we have areas of need, but you're not focusing on what isn't there. You're focusing on what is there, an opportunity for you, the listener, to jump in and make a big time impact and difference.
Yeah. Love it. Well, man, thank you so much for coming on. The book is I Blew It. Tell me where we can pick it up, how we can follow you.
You can pick it up on Amazon. I've got an Audible version if you like to listen into books while you drive. I know
your
a lot of
sultry
people do that.
Voice. Did you record it?
Yeah, well, it sounds a little better than it does right now. I've kind of, yes, I did record it. But there's Audible, there's digital. They can get it on Amazon. Or if they want an autographed copy, we actually have a pretty good deal online. If they go to iblewitbookoffer.com, iblewitbookoffer.com, they can actually get an autographed copy. And there's also a masterclass, video masterclass that goes along with the book and lots of different resources. So I'd love to be able to connect with you and hopefully you'll be able to pick the book up and it'll be a blessing to you.
Well, this interview is not a failure. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Brian, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Ryan McMacken, one of our awesome video producers on the 1230 team. Ryan, let's talk about ready-made media and give me some of the, maybe just the joy that you have in working the variety of adult, kids, students, just all the product types that we have in our libraries.
Well, you said it with variety. That's the biggest joy for me. I'm somebody who has an eclectic taste in music and eclectic taste just in ideas in general. I get bored easily, so I like moving from one thing to the other. So to be able to work on a kids project one day and an adult project the next day and a student project the day after that, it really keeps my mind fresh and my mind engaged on being creative and on coming up with this. And I love too that there's such a plethora of things for churches to look at. When I've been on staff at churches for the better part of 20 years, so I understand what it's like to get to Christmas again and have to once again come up with something, and a lot of times you don't want to rehash what you've done in previous years. So to have an option like 1230 where you can go and look and see different Christmas ideas, I mean, that's so cool. And that for everything too, for regular sermon series, for different holidays. I know what it is, one, to be in a time crunch, and two, to kind of feel like you're just out of fresh ideas. And to be able to have something where you can go and see other people's ideas and then be able to download quality products for that. I mean, that's just such a valuable resource. And so I think I love that we have that variety. And I think that variety is important too, just that people can have different series all the time, that they can really look at, what works for us in our environment. I love that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we try to do. One, our libraries are not 100% modern or contemporary designs. You know, there's a mixture between more traditional looking stuff and then more contemporary or modern looking stuff. And then also one thing that I love that makes us unique is that, a church with a larger budget might have the opportunity to use us for custom content. But mm-hmm. with the ready-made libraries there, that's kind of the Walmart approach too.
Right.
So you get the Walmart and you get, a larger, custom work if you needed that also. So, man, thank you for all the work that you do for our libraries. You do a lot of the video content for all of our ready-made product lines and types. And man, just really appreciate your work and everything that you do.
Thank you, Carl. I love doing it.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
Well, guys, that is it for us this week. Thanks so much for hanging out. Our website is makingsundayhappen.com. You can get all archive episodes of the show right there for you. You can either search for different podcast episodes and the filtering there on the website. So be sure to check that out, makingsundayhappen.com. All right, we are just 3 episodes away from closing this podcast out. So let's finish strong. Hang in with me to the end. Pastor Craig Groeschel is coming up in just a couple of weeks, so be sure to be here for that. But next week, I welcome my friend Nick Blevins to the show. When you are making Sunday happen, volunteers are your lifeblood. Nick is the author of The Volunteer Playbook. So we're going to be talking about a framework to help your church recruit, train, and empower more volunteers at your church. If you want more volunteers, come and check out the podcast next week. We're going to dive into a lot of practical tips for you. All right, go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.